Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm living the dream. You know, you sent me a bunch of stuff pre-show for like topics, and I kind of feel like you were trolling me because I have no idea what the hell any of it meant. Like, I'm just going to read out the text thread between us. First topic for today. It's a photo of the 1994 Washington Bullets roster. I have no idea, with no context. Just see, it's the 1994 Washington Bullets. Then we have the text, it will be a game. Schedule comments for Bulls if you have any. No idea what that means. And a Twitter link to top 26 shooting guards. Okay, that I can kind of guess. And then the word Marco. I've got no idea. So like this is like the exact, that's exactly what came across. So I was like, I don't know, like he knows I never read anything he sends me anyway. So maybe he just now sends random things just to screw with me. Like he's like, if I send something really weird, maybe he'll read it and ask questions, and then I can get what he really wants. So I'm
trying to inspire you to do some research into what I could possibly be talking about.
So now
about.
I'm excited to see where this goes. I have no idea. So this is going to be a fun one. The fans now have a little bit of a precursor of where this goes. So the teasers are out there.
Well, let's start out with the Bullets. First of all, okay. The Washington Bullets, 93-94. I'm on a text thread with a bunch of my college buddies. Riv Man's one of them, and we've been sending out these random Bullets. So random NBA teams throughout the years, he just sends the team photos, and then what's their record? So looking at that Bullets 93-94 team, which had Wes Unseld was the coach, and then you had some great players like Rex Chapman, Cal Bercini, Kevin Duckworth, Purvis Ellison, Tom Gugliotta, Don McLean, who famously sang American Pie. I don't know if it's the same guy. George Morrison. George Morrison. All these guys, what's their record? You know, so that's the game we play. I was hoping, without you looking it up, could you guess what they finished that year, the 93-94
World? I didn't look it up. And the interesting thing about that is it's like, so some of those players strike me as good. I wasn't like a super huge basketball guy in 94. But then it's also like the other thought is like I have no idea where they were in their careers. My gut feeling is this team just sucks. Like I don't recall any of those guys feeling like they were star players. So I feel like zero stars. I don't know, like 25 wins. I'm going to go 25 wins.
24 and 58. Very good, DT. You're right. Like, they had a lot of guys that were, like, good at one time. But for whatever reason, I just love it because some of these pictures are so bad.
I don't think any of those guys were that good. Look at the Murison picture. Like, none of those guys were that good. Who was good on that team?
I like Rex Chapman. I thought Rex Chapman had a lot of good years there.
Rex Chapman was, like, never more than, like, a low-rung starter, was he? Like, he was just a low-rung starter. Same with Tom Gugliotta was, like, a low-rung starter. Like,
what about Don McLean, man? American Pie was a fantastic song. I love that song.
Fantastic song. One of my favorite songs, but I think a different guy, and I don't know that that translates super well to basketball.
Kevin Duckworth. He was good. Kevin Duckworth, I liked him. He was good with the Blazers later. Maybe you're right. Maybe this was a bad time. First of all, they're a bunch of average players at bad points in their career. But the best part, the Bradford Smith was on that team too. The best part about it is some of these pictures. I mean, look at that Murison picture. Everybody go online. Maybe I'll put.
I mean, this is fantastic. We're like, look at. We're going to talk about pictures. We're looking at that. No one can see on a podcast. This is fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Up to par with our great normal recording. But it was a fun. It's a fun game. All right. Well,
I'll put a link to it. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's a fun game. So next week I'll come up with another team, and you did an incredible job guessing the record.
Well, it was a shot in the dark. I mean,
what a job. What a great job. I did have to point out, though, you know, Don McLean. So the next step is we all then look up the notes on each player. You want to hear one of the funniest Wikipedia notes on Don McLean?
Okay.
November of 2000. Not that long ago, only a short 25 years ago, the NBA suspended McLean 5 games for testing positive for steroid. He was the first player suspended for steroid use. Charles Barkley, this is great, later commented, "I've seen Don McLean naked and he doesn't use steroids." Is that not classic?
I feel this is fantastic. This is like a fantastic trivia question. First NBA player to get suspended.
Isn't that great? That is a good question. Looking at Don McLean and Charles Barkley later said, "I've seen Don McLean naked and he doesn't use steroids."
I think that story makes this whole segment worthwhile. I got to be honest. That's a gem there.
Anyhow, let's move on. Let's move on to the topic at hand. Our main man, Nate Dogg. We both love Nate Curtis, who comes out to all your events. He's a great dude. Fantastic guy. Send us a link of a Hoopsite article ranking the shooting guards, all right, by Frank Urbina. So let's just start with that. You know, like, I've gotten these links before. I remember, like, maybe it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I got a link ranking the front offices, and some moron had ranked, like, Orlando's front office ahead of the Bulls, even though the Bulls had finished, like, for something like a decade, a long period of time. Maybe it wasn't that long, but 5 straight years ahead of Orlando, and there was no reason to do that. So basically, this guy was ranking, you know, his front offices that he was friendly with, essentially, instead of like who was actually good. So I don't take a lot of these lists. The only rankings I take seriously are my own and yours to some degree. Sometimes, Mark, you know, some of those. But regardless, did you get a chance to go through it?
I was supposed to.
I guess that's the answer.
No.
I was hoping you would. I sent the link to it.
I joke with you a little bit because I did reference earlier that I realized it was a top 26 shooting guard list, which I would not have known had I not gone through it. So I'm giving you a hard time. Marco is the other thing. I don't know what that is.
Marco Bellinelli. Let's bookmark that. We'll get to that.
Marco Bellinelli. That's a big thing. That's probably as big as Dufont. Like this is the news we have. All right. Okay, what's your question on this shooting guard list?
This list, I found an interesting read. He ranked the top shooting guards. I think basically his goal was to rank them for the upcoming season in order.
Okay.
Did you read the list?
I've read the list.
You read the list. Okay, so we're going to start. I'm going to ruin it. Close your ears if you don't want to get it ruined. But they ranked Kobe 12th out of all the shooting guards. And, you know, I'll read a little bit what they said about him. After spending the majority of his time in the NBA running point, guard Kobe White, according to Basketball Reference, spent 58% of his time on the floor last season playing two guard. Interestingly enough, White even spent 11% of his minutes at small forward. The results weren't bad either. White averaged a career high 20.4 points per game using his elite speed on the open floor and deep shooting range to be productive leader for Chicago. You know, there's some negatives in there too. But overall, number 12. I'm going to name every player ahead of him, I want you to tell me if you'd rather have him or Kobe. Okay? Sounds like a plan?
Yeah, sure.
Desmond Bane.
I would rather have Bane.
At 11. All right, that's a tough one, but I personally would rather have Kobe, but you take Bane. Zach LaVine.
I would rather have LaVine. We're just talking about, like, player, not money, right? Like, just based on the talent.
No, I'm talking about everything. Who would you rather have?
Well, the ranking is not going to account for money, right? It's talking about the ability of the player. Like, those are two fundamentally very different things. If you're saying, like, the value prop of the player on their contract versus, like, just the talent of the player. So we should set that. I'm answering just based on the talent.
Let's answer both, Doug.
I'm sure that's how the list is created. No one makes a list saying this is the top players at this position based on value per dollar on their contract. Like, no one does the list that way. They always do it based on the talent.
Let's add the factor of value. Because I think that is illuminating. So let's go Kobe. So you're saying for Bane, I think you would at least agree to this. Value Kobe, Bane is probably a better player in your
perspective. It's sort of interesting because then now I have to consider that Kobe is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year and Bane isn't. I don't know what Kobe's cost is going to be next year. Let's remove the value from this. Let's just agree that. That's not how this list was created. So if you're going to rip on the list, which is what you're going to do, then it's unfair to add other things that aren't on the list. So we're just going to go talent. Too complicated.
All right, so let's go for talent. Number 10, Zach LaVine and his $47 million salary. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't want to color value in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I agree with I would rather have Kobe on his contract than Zach, but I think Zach is a better player still.
I'm going to go with Kobe over Zach this upcoming year. I'm going to say it. Austin Reeves.
Reeves.
That's pretty close.
I agree. It's close, but Reeves.
All right. Josh Hart, they have 8. Right away, I kind of laughed.
Yeah, I thought that was like the really weird outlier here. I'd probably take Kobe over Hart. Hart's interesting only in that he's like a very good defender, and Kobe's not. So he's like a two-way guy. I think, but it's ridiculous to me because like Bane is a really good defender, and he's a much better offensive player and shooter, and he's like 3 spots below Hart. Like I don't know what Hart's doing at this place on this list. So
I totally agree.
That was the really weird one to me when looking at this list.
I forget what the author's name is, but I'm pretty sure he's probably a Knicks fan. I'll just say that because that's absolutely ridiculous. Like he had Dyson Daniels at 13. I'd rather have Dyson Daniels than freaking Hart, but regardless, we'll move on.
Okay.
But we both agree, I'd rather have Kobe White than Hart, wouldn't you? So that's number 8, a ridiculous pick. Number 7, Amen Thompson, Houston.
I think that's a tricky one because like Thompson is theoretically in a period of like very high growth in his career. And so if you're projecting to what he'll do next year, it would not surprise me that, you know, I would rather have Amen Thompson. So I think that's a close one because there's like so much variance in what you think Thompson may or may not do next year. But I
love Thompson.
I'd probably take Thompson 2-way potential, and you know, I'm gonna project that there's gonna be a jump.
I mean, he's got one fault where he's not a great shooter. I think he shot less than 30% from 3 last year. I watched a lot of that guy last year, especially in the playoffs. He is absolutely elite defensively, athletic freak, and I was blown away with how good he was on the offensive end in terms of taking the ball to the rim. Like, he is a 3-pointer away from being one of the top 5 players in the NBA, not shooting guards, top 5. That's how good this guy is in terms of skill, athleticism, everything. He's that good.
No, he's not.
I think he's going to be awesome. I would rather have, and I love Kobe.
Top 5 in the NBA? Thompson, that's ridiculous.
I already say, defensively, he's there in terms of defensively. Like, I would put him in the top 5 perimeter defenders in the NBA. That's how good he blew me away with how good he was in the playoffs.
Being top 5 defensively does not make you like a top 50 player in the NBA.
Sure. So that does, sure. Yeah. Like, but
it does not matter.
We haven't talked about his offensive skills, which are all great,
which are not even remotely close to the top 5 players in the NBA.
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he has the ability to do that. Like,
if he had a 3-pointer, he would not be there. Like, he needs a hell of a lot more than just a 3-pointer to be top 5.
No, I disagree on that.
That was your goal. All right, fine. Doesn't matter. I don't want to like argue about Amon Thompson.
Let's not belabor this. I'm just saying Amon Thompson is freaking
awesome. Can I shorten this for you? Because the rest of the list, I don't think we really need to talk about a whole lot.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't. No, we don't. I'm gonna run it for you in like 10 seconds. So Tyler Hero is better than Kobe White. He's just like the same player, but a little better. And then the next 4 guys, which are Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Williams, Donovan Mitchell, and Anthony Edwards are all like obviously way better.
All right. I get you right. Yeah, like, there's no reason to talk about. The only one I will say on there.
We're limited on time. Like I don't know. You could maybe argue Hero, but he's just the same player as Kobe, but better.
Jaylen Brown. Let me just say this. How old is Jaylen Brown?
Come on.
I know he's good. I know he's very good. I know he's, you know, a great player. $53 million. I just don't think he's...
I don't care. Now you're getting into value. We agreed at the start we're not talking about that because that's not how the list is formed. I agree Jaylen Brown's not worth $53 million. But that's a different thing.
Let's move on to the last topic because I know this is a brief show. You got to jump. Let's talk about Marco. Marco Bellinelli, one of my favorite one-season wonders for the beloved Bull. is now, first of all, he's retired. I had no idea he was still playing. Like, how old is he? 40? Where was he playing? Why hasn't he retired like 5 years?
I have no idea. Regardless? I have no idea why we're talking about him.
But, you didn't hear about
okay.
that? Well,
no, I heard he retired.
What are you talking about?
Incredibly irrelevant Bulls player.
Irrelevant?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes, irrelevant.
Do you remember what he did against the Nets in the 2013 playoffs?
Fantastic.
Do you want me to share with you what he did? It's pretty freaking amazing what this guy did in games 6 and 7. One of the most under-discussed performances in Bulls history, underrated performances that actually got us into the next round.
We should definitely be talking about the 2012-13 Bulls when we have 10 minutes.
Why not?
Why not? I don't know. I can think of lots of reasons not to talk about something that happened 12 years ago, but no, it's your show. You're just running with it. Give me your Marco Bellinelli underappreciated story.
Well,
I have a feeling I'm about to find out.
All right, there's a reason why in the long run, because I saw a couple people try to paint this as another player Tibbs did wonders with. Marco Bellinelli played 18 minutes.
I see how it now got into your one of your like favorite topics of like just trashing Tom Thibodeau. That's good.
Yeah, first 5 games of that series. You remember what happened to Luol Deng in that series against the Nets? Do you remember what happened to him?
I don't know. Was that he was out?
Spinal tap.
Was that the spinal tap?
Spinal tap.
Yeah.
Do you remember what game that happened in? This is one thing I did not remember.
I don't remember that detail. I remember that like Noah was 5. Hurt and he came back and guaranteed victory and like was playing basically like on a broken foot that year and was
he missed the rest of the season after a spinal tap. He played the first 5 games. He was for the most part, from what I recall, I didn't look this up or confirm it. I'm just going by memory. Awful. And he was averaging like 46 games, Tibbs' favorite player, 46 minutes per game, first 5 games of that series. He's out for 6 and 7. Bellinelli was like averaging 20 minutes per game. 6 and 7, Bellinelli goes up to like 42 minutes per game overnight. And I think he scored 23 and 24 points, if memory serves me correct, in games 6 and 7. He was freaking awesome. And I was furious when that season began about him playing 18 minutes in November per game. And then his minutes went way up because they had injuries like they always do to Heinrich, and they had injuries with Rip Hamilton and, you know, the other guys on the team. So don't you dare out there tell me how much, what a great factor Tibbs was in Bellinelli's career. He wasn't. If anything, just like he did with Korver, he limited him and he didn't even get an opportunity until injuries created it. And his best seasons for Bellinelli were in the subsequent year when he won a title with San Antonio and the previous year. So don't give me the crap that he did great things for Bellinelli.
He didn't. Literally never in my life heard someone say Thibodeau did great stuff for Bellinelli. It's like you just invented this out of nowhere. I've never heard
that. I didn't invent it.
I disagree with that. What you just said is what everyone else I've ever heard talk about Bellinelli. Like, he was a disappointment the year he came here. He was worse than he was the previous couple of years. People thought he was going to do more. People were annoyed that he didn't play more. The narrative you just described is the narrative that exists at that time. I've never heard anyone give Thibodeau credit for Bellinelli ever once in my life.
All the mouth breathers out there talk about how great what the Magic Tibbs did with these players. And Kyle Korver, and Bellinelli, and James Johnson, and Tony Snell, and Doug McDermott all played way better away from Captain Coach minutes per game. That's all I'm saying.
I kind of feel like you're like Norman Osborn, you know, like with the Green Goblin like ghost in your head, and there's like mouth breathers are like all those. It's like the Green Goblin talking to you, like putting random stuff in your head. You know, like just like these things that don't exist in reality, and you're like you have like all of these weird narratives you're fighting that have never happened. Like no one's ever said that. Like I think you just like wake up and you're showering and it's like all dark or something and it's like people think Tom Thibodeau made Marco Bellinelli.
It's always
like,
in the back of your head.
I just like it never happened.
I take a shower in pitch darkness. That's
you
how
put
I
it
start out every day.
You and put I on this, I let you the put on your like superhero Bulls cape and you're
me.
Like. You're like, no, I must defend Marco Bellinelli. And you go out there and you're like, I must.
I was so angry. Doug, I was so angry. I can't remember. I was listening to one of the pods. It might have even been the GOAT. I think it might have been the GOAT started talking about. I listen to all the Bulls pods, but one of them, I think it was the GOAT, was trying to paint this as, oh, look at the Magic Tibbs did. And I literally lost my mind. I was just like, oh, no, no, I'm not letting this narrative get out. There is no way this narrative is getting out. If anything, Tibbs kept him down. So anyhow, let's move on to the last
topic. So I agree with you. We'll leave it at that. Like, I agree with you. I don't remember that narrative, but I agree. There's no case that Tom Thibodeau made Marco Bellinelli. That's a ridiculous statement. If anyone thinks that's true,
yes,
ridiculous statement.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going to let it thrive. I'm a warrior for truth.
Trending on Twitter now. Trending on Twitter now. Marco Bellinelli and Tom Thibodeau. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
It's so funny you mentioned that Osborne, because I just was watching the Spider-Man. No Way, was it No Way Home or whatever one else, where they had all the three Spider-Mans. Excellent movie. Man, Osborne, what's his name? Who plays him? Who plays Green Goblin? I love that guy. He's such a good actor.
William Dafoe.
Yeah. Incredible job in that movie. He was really good. I give him 10 stars.
Yeah. I enjoyed all the Spider-Man movies. Even like the ones everyone hated.
Tobey Maguire and Andrew Carter.
The Andrew Garfield ones, I think, are the ones everyone
hated. I thought those were good too. I agree. I loved every Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I don't have a high bar. Like, I'm entertained.
What a great analogy though, Doug. I think I do have a little bit of the Green Goblin in me, that you're right. There are some negative thoughts that creep in there about Bulls that I try to fight, because I've been way more positive lately. I don't know if you noticed that.
You have been. It's been good.
Anyhow, I know you got to go. DT, this was great. We banged out 25-minute show. Beautiful show. You're the best. Everybody, listen.
We didn't even talk about the one piece of news.
What is that?
Everyone was super mad that we promoted Dufant. Default.
Oh yeah. Default. Can you give us a three minute thing?
What the hell does anyone know about assistant coaches? Like, Peter Patton, no one hired him. Everyone's so mad. Like, we didn't renew his contract. No one hired him. He's not in the NBA. And then we promoted some other dude. Like, okay. Like, how does anyone know any about any of this stuff? Like, I'm not saying it's great. I don't care. But it's like, how can you possibly know? How can you possibly know what like an assistant coach is doing and be like, oh no, we should have kept this guy that no one else in the NBA wants?
I agree.
Like I love your quote. Like shooting is some like crazy, incredible thing no one knows how to teach, right? Like this, there's like some super secret shooting method that like only Peter Patton knew. Like, and it's not to say Peter Patton sucks. He might be fine. He might be great. Like, the players seem to like him. Players always love the assistant coaches. Like, the next time you read something negative about an assistant coach will be the absolute first. I don't know.
View him as like, like a miracle worker. Like, what did he do for Patrick Williams? Was Peter Patton great for Patrick?
Every year people will just like, they'll be like, oh, the shooting coach is great because blah, 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 blah approved and blah, 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 blah didn't. And like, it's like, you can't even like put those numbers on like the assistant coach anyway. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. Like, there's just no way to judge it. That's all I'm saying. There's no way to judge it. You can't possibly judge it. That's it.
I thought you were referring to the news about the Bulls' schedule, which I think is even more ridiculous. Like, let's pick out every game for the first. Yeah. Who the hell knows? Like,
I don't know. It's just because it's September and August, and you got to like find stories.
That's content. It. Let's just pick out the first five games.
I can't because I have hard stop. So love the show. Go Bulls.
Really quick. Pistons, Bulls.
I Pistons. All right, I'm done. I gotta go.
Catch you later. Take it easy, DT.
Have a good
one. All right, bye. Buddy. Have a good one, man. Bye-bye.